Good morning, welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 24th chapter, Perek Chav Dalad of Sefer Yeshayahu. This Perek itself is one of the most complex Pereks we've actually seen up till now in terms of language and just conceptualization. Yeshayahu has now shifted from focusing on, in the last 11 chapters, the world at large. Now he turns to Israel and he gives us prediction, which sounds like it's pretty clear that it's about destruction and resurrection and Geula. It's not a particularly clear at which point he's referring to. So the Mefarshim debate this. Some of the Mefarshim, like the Metzudah, suggest that this is referring to the very, very future, the war of Gog and Magog, Geula, the Ga'alus and the Geula leading up to that. Other Mefarshim say they know that, like Rav Shimon Schwab suggests, that this is actually the ebb and flow of Jewish history throughout all of the ages. It's sort of the framework, which is why it's very broad. We've witnessed a lot of these things, and it's worthwhile thinking about these particulars as we go through this parak. So let's do the following. Let's move through it in three sections. The first section describes the galus, describes the exile. It runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way through to Pasuk Tesvav, to the 15th Pasuk. The general summary is the following. It describes how Hashem will empty out the earth of its inhabitants, or empty out the land of its inhabitants, and everybody will be equalized. There's a beautiful description over here. Ka'om ka'kohen, the people like the priest. Ka'eved ka'adonav, the servant like the master. Ka'shivcha ka'gevirta, the servant, the slave girl like the mistress. Ka'kone ka'mocher, the sellers are like the buyers, and the ka'malve ka'love, and the lenders like the borrowers. Ka'noshe ka'asher nosheba. Everybody will be equalized at this point in time. Why? Because Hashem willed it to be so. The land will be desolate, its leaders will be chopped down, the land will flatter the people. Why? So the Pasuk tells us, very simply, Ki avru taros, chalfu chayk, cheheferu bris. The people transgressed the law, the taros, the teachings, they overlooked the law, and they annulled the covenant. That's why this is all happening. Because of this, Yeshayahu continues, the land will be burnt, its inhabitants will be removed. The burning of land sounds, unfortunately, very, very familiar today, especially when we're having the terror attacks or burning of fields right now in the south. The inhabitants will be removed, the vines won't give the fruit. There'll no longer be the sound of musical instruments and the voice of joy, the kol alizim of the simcha. And there's a lot of description about the notion of wine being here. People will no longer drink wine in happiness, says Yeshayahu. Rather, will be drunk in avelos, not for happiness. So people will be using it as a tool of comfort rather than a tool of joy. The homes will be destroyed, they'll be left empty. Celebrations will be void of happiness, of wine. The cities will be in disarray and desolation without anybody, no longer anybody there to look after them, to tend to them. And at this point in time, that will be left in Israel will be a few odd Jews, like the remaining olives, the remaining grapes after the harvest. That's all that will be left in the land of Israel. Those will remain, says Yeshayahu, don't worry, they will see the Geula, they will see the redemption, they will see the lights from the islands. This is a very unusual description. Al-Kain Ba'urim Kabdu Hashem, through the lights, that's one translation of it, they will honor Hashem, Be'yayayam Hashem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, in the islands of the sea that will honor Hashem. Very, very fascinating. Before moving further, let's just consider a few things over here. Number one is, first of all, just appreciate when we look at this, and I really advise everybody to take a look and try to learn this through on themselves in the actual text. The text is incredibly poetic. Yeshayahu, the descriptions that he uses language in its fullest. As examples, he goes, Hiboik tiboik ha'aretz, hiboiz tiboiz. The land will be emptied and disgraced. Bogdim bogadu, beged bogdim bogadu. We're going to see that as well. There's civil wars fighting Israel themselves. Ra hisra ha'aretz, por hispara ha'aretz, moit timoitatana ha'aretz. The land will be made bad. The land will be broken to crumbs. It will be made unstable. These are all just descriptions, the alliteration, the poetic nature that Yeshayahu is using over here. Let's just think about a few points before going further, and that is, what is this great equalization, right? I mean, when he talks about this experience of goddess, he talks about how everybody will be the same, the priest, the regular person, the master, the slave. What's going on over here? So the Mitzvot points out that when we are taken into goddess, when the Jews are attacked by their enemies do not care who is who. They line us up in front of the same cattle carts. It doesn't make a difference whether we're Olympic prize winners, and when they're sent to the gas chambers. It doesn't make a difference what level of religiosity. It doesn't make a difference because the enemies of Israel will come to get all of us. Rashi says that even, he adds to this, unfortunately we've seen examples of this in our near history. And this is, by the way, one of the reasons why when David Ben-Gurion was describing the right of return and legally what should it, who should it include, he actually chose the Hitler definition, Yimach Shemai, which is the definition of whoever's lined up to go to the by the enemies. That is the actual coming the full crow full circle of this. Rashi adds on that, in fact even the business will be equalized. Creditors and sellers creditors and borrowers, sellers and lenders will all be equalized. There's not going to be no joy in commerce and business at this point in time as we take into Golas. The apostle describes in the section how the land will flatter us. Rashi says that means to say that it'll look like it's green, but it's not going to give grain. It's just going to be flattering us, playing games with us. Whereas the Malbim says it even goes further. The land is being punished because of our sins via extension, vicariously. When describing why this happens, the Pasuk already told us that because we did three things. Avru Toros, Chofel, Choik, Heferu, Bris, Olam. That we transgressed the Toros, we overlooked the law, and we annulled the eternal covenant. The Mitzvah says, that it's all just poetically saying the same thing, that we left the Torah. Whereas the Malbim says, no, there's three levels of moral code. One level of moral code is the divine code that we get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah, which is from the heavens, is not the earthly. It's not based on human logic. The second level of code is what we'll call logical moral sensitivities. You know, I know that I should honor my parents if I think about it long enough, because that's a moral sensitivity. And then there's a third level of code, which is what we'll call it almost like, you know, the basic moral system necessary to govern society, that it doesn't fall apart, like utilitarianism. Utilitarianism, so there can't be certain things. You can't have stealing and murder in order that society is governed. That's sort of the basic level. So what the Malbim says is that all three of these levels were rejected, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying this is happening. In describing the Geula itself, the way it was described is that the lights of Geula will be coming back. What does it mean, the lights of Geula? So the Malbim points out that it's referring to that throughout the Golus, throughout the exile, all the people will come back with lights. There'll be something they're coming from their Golus and bringing back. Rav Tzadok HaKohen talks about in Resisei Laila how every Golus has something that needs to be extracted from it, some Torah, some description, or some deep idea which needs to be extracted through the period of Golus, and they're coming back with these lights. I think on a sort of almost a historical level, it's fascinating to think about those living in Cyprus in the detention camps under the British in 1948 on the Iyayayam, on the islands of the sea, as they finally are able to break the blockade and the British leave and they're able to come to the land of Israel. This kind of description of seeing Hashem's hand in history. The last section of the parak is, we're going to put the last two sections together, runs from Chof Dalet all the way till the very end, which is Tezayin to Chof Gimel, and it goes the following. This is the summary. Yeshua describes, at this time, the prophets will see the time of Geula and how each tzaddik will come back from exile. Using Zemirois Shomanu, we hear the songs Tzvi LaTzadik, right? There's going to be land, there's going to be place for each tzaddik to come back. And at that point in time, all the nations will be fighting each other, and while they fight each other, they fight Israel, which seems to be something which is pretty contemporary. At this time, the nation, there will be a terrible fear which will grip the non-Jews in Israel, and those escaping will find one problem after another. He says so poetically, "Voyanos mikol apacha." Those who are running from the sound of fear, yipol al apachas, will fall into the trap. Va'oile mitoch apachas yiloked bapach. Every time that they try to escape, they keep falling and faltering. At such time, the evildoers will be broken up into crumbs. They'll be shaken out, and the land will sway in the wind and collapse on those who hurt us. There's going to ultimately be a system of justice for all the centuries and centuries of hate and hurt that we've experienced over history. Just to give an example, when the British expelled the Jews for 350 years in the 1200s, what ended up happening was that as the Jews were being kicked out, obviously they could only take everything, they had certain limitations what they could take, and they had all their wealth with them. So the people who were giving them transport, you know, knew this. So there was a particular example where a ship company took the Jews and landed them on a sidebar in the middle of the river and allowed them out for a walk, and then as the tide was coming back, just zipped off and took their wealth, which was in the hold, and let the Jews die. In this, between the different ships that landed on the sidebar, 10,000 Jews were killed. That happened to be later on. The British government did take this person, this particular salesman, to court, but that doesn't make all the people who hurt him, all the thousands of lives lost without accountability, is unbelievable throughout all of history. All the blood of history will come back, and these people will have to pay. That's what Yeshayahu says. And finally, he closes by saying, On that day, you've got Hashem Tzvokos ala morom ba morom va malchei adama ala adama. There's going to be an accounting for those in heaven and those on earth. Who are those in heaven? Ibn Ezra says it refers to the angels, the angelic hosts representing each nation. They will be brought to justice for what their nation did to Israel. And va'asu asifa asir al bor. They'll be brought into the prisons, and on that day, yipokedu, they will be given attention to. V'chofra levonu v'ashachama. Famous words. The moon and sun will be covered up on this day. They'll be embarrassed because Hashem ki molach Hashem tzolakois me'ahem behar tzion of Yerushalayim, because Hashem returns to explicitly rule through Yerushalayim. What does it mean that the moon and sun are covered? That Radak says that's because the days of the enemies of Israel will be so dark from suffering. The Malbim says no, it happens to be their deity. They're those who believe that the sun and the moon or any other force in this world was their good force which allowed them to succeed will not be succeeding for them in the meantime. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.